This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. This is Basma Firehat, and welcome to the People Speak. When the people speak, we make a difference. I'm here tonight with my co-host, John Neal, our board Hello, John. Our board operator, Don, working in the background through BBS Radio. We're here on Pal Talk at www.paltalk.com. You can go to the Pal Talk site and download and install the software, and all you have to do is create a nickname, and you can come into our virtual audience and join us. You can also call us on the radio program and talk to our guests tonight. We have an incredible guest tonight, absolutely legendary, a personal folk hero of my own, I heard from the 60s, Pete Seeger, whose musical artistry expresses his activism and social consciousness with the literacy that's not found in today's music, and that I promise you. His songs are timeless. We're going to be going for a short break, and our first public service announcement is going to be Pete Seeger, and we'll be back right after this to talk and interview Mr. Pete Seeger.
This is Pete Seeger. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence shows now that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war, lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The People Speak with Pete Seeger tonight. For those of you who didn't grow up when I did and weren't as fortunate to have the kind of memories that I do of that period and that kind of song, Pete is an incredible singer. His life was filled with music and activism. His songs are Where Have All the Flowers Gone, If I Had a Hammer, Turn, 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 Whim Away, on and on and on and on. I don't know how many songs that, you know, when I think about this, Pete, and I'd like to welcome you to the People Speak Radio. How are you, Pete?
Well, I'm 87 years old and half deaf, but I'm still here. And frankly, I'm fascinated with what's going on in America today now, because many people are discouraged, but many more people are getting active. There's little groups here and little groups here. They're all starting to become active right in their home communities.
And Pete, you know, one of the things looking at some of the fascinating things you've said and done in your life, I ran across something that your basic philosophy in life, and you said something like, I'm a teacher trying to teach people to participate, whether it's in banjos, guitars, or politics. Let me ask you something, Pete. How do we teach people to participate? What is the key to impassioning humans that are just lost in apathy?
I'd say show them what fun it is to participate. It may be fun to watch something or listen to something, but it's even more fun to participate in some way. And quite often, a good old song is good because it's got a nice chorus that everybody can join in on. Remember the battle hymn of the Republic, glory, glory, hallelujah. Everybody joins in on it.
Well, that's true. The Battle of the Republic, isn't that interesting? I guess the Republic is at a battle, is in a, probably one of the biggest battles it's ever been in. I don't know, you may agree with me or not, but with the war in Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, Palestine, New Orleans, Bush, you know, are literally, I believe that our country is in a battle to survive, Pete.
The whole
what are you
human
feeling
race,
from some of the things that are going on in our country today?
The whole
like
human race.
The war in Iraq.
The whole human race is in a very bad position. We've allowed people in power and people with money to control our lives. And look what a mess they are making of it. However, if we don't give up, we will find that they can't keep us down. We have that wonderful First Amendment to the Constitution, says you have a right to speak your mind, and a right to your own kind of religion. So in my little hometown, where I live along the banks of the Hudson, we have 24 different churches. Some of them are Latino and speak Spanish. Some of them are mostly African-American, and they have wonderful singing. And there's others that are neither Christian nor Jewish nor Muslim. The Baha'is are here, too. And I'm reaching out to all of them and saying, let's get together occasionally. And if you don't want to talk, at least come and eat. We have a strawberry shortcake festival on the waterfront every June, and a corn festival every August. And coming up in 2 weeks is the annual pumpkin festival.
An annual what?
Pumpkin festival.
Ah, pumpkin festival.
And people can buy pumpkins.
Pete?
They could also buy a slice of pumpkin pie or pumpkin ice cream or who knows.
Pete, or can you hear me now, Pete?
Yeah.
This is John. We have, down in my home country, I know you're probably familiar with this place, we have the seed time on the Cumberland in Letcher County, Kentucky, near Harlan County, a county that you mentioned, you actually in one of your songs, which side are you on? Harlan
yeah.
County. I'm from a county that borders those two counties. But the seed time on the Cumberland is in June, and it's a gathering of musicians and craftsmen and artists, artisans. And there are no filters about who goes there. Everybody's welcome. And it's very apolitical. It's apolitical. It's just a gathering that, something that you mentioned. Another thing I wanted to throw in there to see if you know someone I know, my cousin is Gene Ritchie.
Yes.
Do you remember Gene Ritchie?
Oh, sure. Wonderful singer and has written some very good songs too.
Her hometown of Viper is where I was born as well. And her grandmother is my grandmother's sister. So we are kind of directly related. I don't know which cousin that is, but
your second cousin.
She comes down to Viper at least once a year and stays in her cabin. She's a wonderful lady. And the last time I saw her was about 2 years ago, though. She's still getting along pretty well. But I wanted to jump in there and say hello to you and say hello to everybody that's listening to this program. We're on the BBS radio network. We're also streaming the audio through Pal Talk. It's an internet chat program where people can actually talk as what Pete's talking about. We can get together and we can talk to each other, and we are from all over the world. So we're letting Pete get into this conversation in Pal Talk. Later on in the program, we're going to give you an opportunity to call in and ask a question of Pete. I want to go ahead and get some numbers for you to jot down right now. So for the last 20 or 25 minutes, we'll let you call in and we can talk. The toll-free USA number if you've got something to write with, or put it in a notepad on your computer. 877-876-5227. One more time, 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, call 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. One more number. This is not toll-free. If you're outside of North America, the number is 530-876-3222. 530-876-3222. Needed to get that in there. Appreciate you letting me jump in there, Basma, and say hello to Pete. You guys can continue on. It's 8:13. We're 13 minutes into this program on the East Coast of the United States, and we'll be taking a break in about 15, and we want to jump right back in here to the interview with Pete Seeger. So go ahead.
Well, you know, some of the things, Pete, that I found fascinating is obviously your talent with the 12-string guitar, and one of my favorite blues guitarists was Lead Belly. Did you ever actually meet Lead Belly, or was this just something after he passed away that you picked up on?
Alan Lomax, the folklorist, introduced me to Lead Belly in 1938 when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
And he said, this is Charlie Seeger's son. My father was a musicologist, a professor who taught about the history of music and compared the different kinds of music from Asia and Africa and Latin America. And I dropped out of college and simply liked to make music. But I got to know Lead Belly quite well.
I think you're being a little bit shy in what you dropped out of. You actually dropped out of Harvard, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you, Pete?
Well, I got too interested in politics, and I let my marks slip, and so I lost my scholarship, and I had to leave in April of 1938. However, I stayed there long enough to use a library, and that's one of the handiest things that you can learn, how to use a library.
And I agree with you. A lot of people in the world certainly don't know how to use a library, and now with the internet, I think the art of working and using a library system is going to be lost on a lot of our youth. That's a shame, too. I find that fascinating that you actually met Lead Belly. I had assumed that you had just fancied his style of playing. Now, I don't know if you noticed, our introduction was done by Annie DeFranco. And in the songs of Pete Seeger, many of your tributes were, and one of the tributes was actually done by Annie DeFranco to you. And from Annie DeFranco to Bruce Springsteen have honored you in your career as a songwriter, as a storyteller, which is something that I found fascinating. I didn't know that you told stories, although I can hardly believe that I was surprised by it. Do you have a short story for us that you could relate?
I have too many stories, and they all take too long. I am greatly pleased that there's now a storytellers organization, and people all over America get together to exchange and swap stories with each other. And I'm glad to see many parents learning what fun it is to tell stories to their children. That's how I learned.
Well, I'm with you. I'm a writer, and one of the things that I do with my grandchildren that is the most amazing is that I tell them stories, and they could go on forever listening to stories from me, and they absolutely love it, and I engage them in it. And again, it is an art that's become very, very popular again, and I think I couldn't begin to tell you how pleased I am with that, because without storytelling, without myth, I don't believe that our societies and our cultures could have existed as long as they had. Pete, tell me about your current activism. In what areas are you striving politically today?
Well, I'm out to urge people to be active in some way. They don't need to do everything, but find some way they can be active, usually in their home community. It might be politics, but it might be religion. It might be science. It might be something artistic, whether it's painting a mural on the side of a building or putting in a community garden or having a song fest. I found there's a part of my hometown where the businesses were closing because nobody ever went down to that part of town. So I told them at least once a month we're going to have a song fest, a free song fest down there, and we're going to invite children to come down and sing, and grown-ups too, and it won't be long, an hour and a half, and then the kids have to go back to bed. But we'll sing some songs that will bring a crowd down, and then they'll suddenly find, oh, there's a store here I didn't know we had in town.
Did it work?
Well, I'll let you know next month.
Ah, so this is a new project. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe that it won't work. I think sometimes what ends up happening is that we get caught up in the newness of life. You know, we've got buildings coming up everywhere we look. There isn't a place in the country that isn't just being converted into some new form of shopping strip or whatever. And I think that we're not really marketing our beautiful older areas as well as we possibly could. And I think that you being there doing song fests, I mean, oh my God, what an incredible resurgence to certain areas. That's incredible. It goes to show you, you're right. You know, how do we make a difference? We do it through fun. You know, everybody becomes very, very serious. As a peace activist in my life, one of the things that I found is that a lot of these activists were so incredibly serious. And there is almost a gloom and doom, because when you're dealing with trying to salvage peaceful lives,
yes,
and peaceful societies out of the myths of war and corruption and these kinds of things, you become very tired sometimes.
I've got a little story. This is a short story. Imagine that you're looking at a seesaw, and one end of the seesaw is on the ground because there's a basket half full of big rocks. The other end of the seesaw is up in the air because it has a basket only one quarter full of sand. And some of us have teaspoons, and we're trying to fill up that basket. But most people are laughing at us. They say, oh, people like you have been trying for thousands of years, but it's leaking out of that basket as fast as you're putting it in. You're wasting your time. But we say, oh, no, we're looking at it closely, and we're getting more people with teaspoons all the time, and it's starting to fill up more. And we think that one of these days, that basket will be more than half full of sand, and you'll see that whole seesaw go in the other direction. And people will say, gee, how did it happen so suddenly? Us and all our little teaspoons over thousands of years.
Well, that you heard it right here on the People Speak Radio with Pete Seeger. Pick up your teaspoons, people. You make a difference. I think this is the biggest key right there. And what an incredible analogy and story that is, Pete, because it's true. You know, and this is the reality. I think sometimes that we think we must contribute something grand, something bigger than life in order that we can see that we made a difference. But the reality is all you need is a teaspoon, folks, and you heard it from Pete Seeger. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Pete and the People Speak on Pal Talk and BBC Radio. Thank you all for being here, and Pete will be right back with you.
House Resolution 635. This is Immortal Technique. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggested George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war in which tens of thousands of civilians were killed. We are told to look upon these deaths as an exaggeration or an acceptable loss in the war on terror. But this administration has lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, and produced phony news reports. People have been imprisoned without charges and tortured, and illegal weapons used. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation. Peace.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm John Jeter, John Neal. Bassmer is still with us. Pete Seeger is still on the phone. The phone numbers are still available. I hope you wrote those down. The phone lines will be free to call this program in about 10 minutes. We think about maybe 25 before the top of the hour. We'll start taking your calls. We do have kind of a usual thing we do here. I'm going to let Pete know this, too. We do try to be as active as we can without trying to hurl stones. We do carry teaspoons, as you talked about. We do our best to get together and congregate and talk about things. We're very political, and I want to get some of your political opinion here in just a minute. But right now, we want to give away a prize. This will be available to the Pal Talk participants, and the first person to send to us the correct answer will win this prize. It's going to be at the Peace DVD will be given away tonight. Tonight's question is going to be concerning Pete Seeger. So here we go. Get ready. We're watching. And we do have toll-free numbers only. We'll get to those phone numbers in just a second. But here it is. Here's the question. I'll make you wait a second. Okay. What song, Pete Seeger's song, contains these lyrics? To everything there is a season. Oh, there's also a book that contains those same words. To everything there is a season. And I'm watching the Pal Talk text room for the first correct answer, and we'll let one of our moderators in the Pal Talk room decide who wins, and we'll get back to that. Before the show's over with, we'll announce the lucky winner. They can contact us, and we'll make arrangements to send them the free copy of the DVD. And I'm thinking their Pal Talk audience is not hearing me at this point, it sounds like. But we'll get back to that because nobody is responding. You still there, Fatima?
Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, I wanted to bring to your attention that Pete Seeger is on this.
Oh, I see what's happening. We do have a little internet lag, Pete, getting our voices over to the internet audience. There's a little bit of a delay. I wanted to ask Pete, we do have somebody did answer that question correctly. We'll announce who we think was the first person later. Pete, I wanted to ask you, you said you're 87 years old. Do you ever use the internet? Do you get on the computer and search the internet for information?
I'm afraid I have to admit that I do not know how to use a computer. My grandchildren do, but not me.
The internet is, you mentioned you learned how to use a library. The internet is it's a totally interlaced network of information, and it's anything that you'd want to look up. This Pal Talk room is kind of dedicated to political information about the way things are done from these people that you mentioned that had the money. What are they doing to us? Let's be watchdogs to their behavior. Let's talk about it. Let's inspire and empower each other to try to do something about it, to hopefully make it better, because the more we read on this, as someone we know calls the internet, even though they're not the internet, we read on the internet that we hear things and we read things that are not the same as what we hear on the television, totally different. I wanted to ask you, you did answer that question about you don't use the internet. It would be very interesting if you could have your grandkids take you on a little tour. You tell them what you want to know. you think of something that you may have forgotten, you think you may have forgotten from 50 years ago. Put it on your computer screen, click a button, you'll get all kinds of information that really is amazing. And the people in BBS Radio and the people at the PalTalk.com room all use the internet. I wanted to ask you before we take these calls in just about maybe 7 minutes, what is your impression at this point about the information that the United States administration gives? Do you think that they are lying to the people of America?
Oh, of course they're lying all the time. It's very common for politicians to lie or at least stretch the truth. But this administration has set a record, I think.
I think you're right, Pete. What do you think about George Bush's actions in regards to everything that's been going on in the country today? Do you believe him to be a good leader, or do you believe him to be incompetent in leading our country to a more wholesome and healthy future?
Well, curiously, then, we may end up thanking George W. Bush for getting more Americans to vote again. For about 50 or 60 years, every election, fewer and fewer people voted. I remember there was 60%, and then it was 59%, then 58%, and then it was 50%, and then I think not too long ago, it was 45% of the nation voted, and 55% did not bother going to the polls. And I read somewhere that people under 25, 85% of them do not bother to vote. Well, this is terrible. And on the other hand, right now, I'm pretty sure the next, on November 7th, there will be more people going to the polls and voting or trying their best to vote than in the last 50 years. So we may end up thanking the president for that.
You know, one of the things that I had read, I wanted to question you about, Pete, was you were indicted by Congress and blacklisted, weren't you, during the early part of the 60s?
Well, actually, if you get into unusual politics, you can almost be sure that you won't get jobs. But I thought that was okay. I sang for children here in summer camps or schools, and I sang in union meetings and in peace rallies. And during the war, I sang for soldiers. I was stationed on the island of Saipan in the Western Pacific, and my job was to get the soldiers singing. I remember on a troop ship, I took down the name of all the new songs or old songs. I was surprised there were several hundred songs that most people could try and sing. Some of them were barbershop harmony, down by the old mill stream. Some of them were country songs. Some of them were old pop songs, whether blue skies smiling at me, or he's just a sentimental gentleman from Georgia, Georgia. I can tell you the pop songs from 1927 on. I had a ukulele when I was age 8. And some of them were show tunes, which are unforgettable. Somewhere over the rainbow. The rainbow is a great
song. What neighborhood did you grow up in when you were a child, when you were a kid?
My parents were split, and I was sent away to boarding school at a very young age. But I took my ukulele with me, and whenever a gang of kids was around, we'd try and sing some songs together.
And I'll tell you, I absolutely love some of those songs that you're popping out with. This is the greatest. Let me ask you, obviously, the fact that you were blacklisted, you still sang, and considering that was your love,
All during the 1950s, I did not get a single job on television. But I'd go from one college to another college singing for the students, and the poor John Birch Society didn't know how to stop me. If they picketed me, all they did was sell more tickets.
I haven't heard the term the John Birch Society in so long, I think I'm dating myself here.
What year was that, or what year was that, Pete?
I'd say I started singing in colleges in 1953, and every year I was able to sing in more colleges. Finally, in the 1960s, I was singing in the big state colleges, although the head of Brooklyn College, President Gideon Z, he said, as long as I'm president of Brooklyn College, Seeger will not sing here. And I didn't until he retired finally about 1964. And Len Chandler, a wonderful black singer, a songwriter, he and I sang there right away after.
So you were a man of in your 30s at that point, going to the college?
No, I was in my 40s. I was born in 1919.
Yeah, okay. So you were in your 30s, and this was in the very robust period in this country when Eisenhower was president, and we had the post-World War II boom going on. I would say it was probably a pretty exciting time to be around, actually.
On the other hand, some wonderful things happened. I was asked by the Parent Teachers Association to sing at a school in Long Island. But the school board got some protests, and they canceled it. They canceled the use of their hall. One of the members of the Parent Teachers Association was a lawyer. He said, would anybody mind if I took this to court? I think this is unconstitutional. By gosh, a year later, he got a very strong opinion from the New York State Supreme Court. This is exactly what the Constitution is all about. If you rent your auditorium to anybody, you can't suddenly not let someone use it because you don't like their politics. So we had a grand standing room only concert back at this big auditorium, and I started off the evening telling the audience, I said, I guess you know that I often sing songs out of American history. And here was, this is the hit song of the year 1814. It was first sung by an actor standing on a stool in a tavern. And he got such applause that a local printer wrote down the words. And next day he was selling copies of it in the street. Everybody knew the tune. It was an old English drinking song, which was not supposed to be sung in polite company, but everybody knew the tune. And the next day, stagecoaches were taking copies of this song down to Richmond, Virginia, and places further south, and up to New York and to Boston. It was the hit song of the year 1814. And since you all know it, will you please stand and help me sing it? Star Spangled Banner. Boy, did they sing out. They sung at the top of their lungs.
Hello?
You know, we're here in the virtual audience, and I just want you to know the way this audience works. We're actually in a room, and people are texting, and you have so many fans here, Pete. And they're just clamoring. What they're asking us for you to do is to sing a song.
Well, I don't have much voice left. I really don't. But I get audiences singing these days. And you might like to try this. I'm curious to know if it works with me on a telephone and without my banjo here. But right after the Twin Towers bombing, I got an idea for a chorus. It took me all of 8 months before I got some verses which were not too teachy-preachy. Mm-hmm. But by gosh, I get people singing this everywhere I go. Now, I go, down in Alabama, 1955. Not many of us here tonight were then alive. A young Baptist preacher There's a bus boy cop. He shows a way for a brand new day without firing a shot. Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing, so drop the gun. Oh, those must have been an exciting 13 years. Young heroes, young heroines. There was laughter, there were tears. Students sitting down at lunch counters, children dancing in the streets. To think it all started with Rosa refusing to give up her seat. Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing, so drop the gun. Hey, you could sing that chorus. I'll teach it to you. Don't say it can't
Bravo.
Be done. No, I'm serious. Clear off
Bravo.
The throat.
Bravo, that was wonderful.
But you
heard
it here,
guys.
He's trying
I'm
to
coming right to
it,
the important
so
part of the song.
Do it again. Do the chorus again, Pete. Do the chorus one more time.
Here's
I almost had it.
Listen, I'll give it to you. Sing. Don't say it
I'm
can't
listening.
Be done. Sing that. Don't say it can't be done.
Don't say it can't be done.
Now, second line. The battle's just begun.
Just begun.
The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. Take it from Dr. King. Now try those three lines. Don't say it can't be done. Bum, bum, bum. Don't say it can't be done.
Can't
the
be
battle.
Done.
The battle's just begun. Take it. Take it from
the
Dr. King.
The battle's just begun.
You, no. Stay with
no.
me. Stay with me.
You know, Pete, I can't carry a tune to save my soul, I'm afraid.
Now, here's the fourth line. You too can learn to sing. Sing that. You too can learn, to,
learn
sing.
To sing.
So drop
the gun. We've had a caller online for a while.
So
yeah.
drop
the
gun.
Am I ready to go?
You got it. Okay, now we know the whole chorus. Is there an audience there?
Hello?
Yes, we've got an audience.
All right, I want that
radio,
whole audience
live
to
radio.
Sing with me. Here we go. Boom, boom. Don't say it can't be done.
Don't say it can't
no.
be done.
No. Well? Don't sing with me, not after me.
Oh, I'm trying. John, you've got to help me here. You're the one that's the voice.
Don't say
here
it can't be done.
The
battle the
second line
just
is
begun.
Look, don't you
we'll
two interrupt me.
Pete, we have a visitor in this phone conference. Someone did call in. I heard him come in earlier. I don't know if they're still with us, but if they could just hold on a couple of minutes, we have to learn this. We can't stop before we learn this simple song. And as soon as we get the song figured out.
Hi, Vixie. I love you, honey.
So
I love you. I love Pete Lover, too. You guys have a...
John, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. You're fine.
If you and Basima would not interrupt me, the audience will get it.
Okay.
Don't
yes, sir.
See, I will give you the. I taught you all the words, and now we'll actually sing it. Stay right in rhythm with me.
Okay. Hello. I was wondering, was 9/11 a conspiracy against the United States through the Bush administration? Did they actually not have some plane hit the Pentagon building? Was it blown
up
by some explosives?
Hold on just a minute. We hear you. We do hear you. It would be polite to let us introduce you.
Okay.
Or you can tell us your name and where you are. If you're listening to the program, you may have noticed that we are going to take your call in just a second, but Pete is trying to teach us something. So if you want to hang on just a minute, it's a very powerful question, absolutely a powerful question, but we need to back up a little bit and slow down a little bit, and then you can come back in and tell us what your name is and maybe where you are, and then we'll say hello in return, and then you can ask your question. So hang in there just for a second. No, that's someone that is called into the show. We don't have the ability to know who they are until they jump in here. That's what we love about this. But we need to be careful about being interrupted. Don't say it can't be done. Okay, we're going to shut up and let Pete sing. The listening audience, key in on
what
he's saying.
Am I on the air or not?
Listen to the words. learn them, and then sing along. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, tell you the truth, I realize I've got a banjo right here.
All right.
In my hand.
You heard it. He's going to play the banjo, guys.
Okay, here we go.
Instead of playing the banjo, I got a real powerful question. I just want him to answer it.
Here we go. The banjo is in my hands.
Hello? Can anybody hear me? I have a question. On the 9/11.
We have a caller that is in the room with us. Tune the banjo. Let's get your question out. We'll note your question. We do apologize for the little miscommunication, caller. Tell us your first name and then get your question down. We'll let Pete hear that question. He can address that question in just a minute. So we are listening to you. We're not ignoring you, but we want to try to have some semblance of order here because we want to hear Pete play the banjo and sing a bit. We also want to hear him answer his questions from the audience. So get the question out of the way. Tell us where you are and ask the question, and then we will have him address it in just a minute. Okay, go ahead. I guess the caller's gone, Pete. Go ahead, Pete. The banjo should be in tune, and we're ready, we're waiting, and we're listening.
Well, now, you remember the first line is, don't say it can't be done. Now, here we go. Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing. So drop the gun. Songs kept them going and growing. Youth, they didn't know all the millions of seeds that they were sowing. They were singing on marches, even singing in jail. Songs gave them courage to believe they would not fail. Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King, you too can learn to sing. So drop the gun. We really need a trumpet to help out on this song.
I'm afraid I don't do trumpet either.
Sing. Don't say it can't be done.
Can't be done.
The battle's just begun.
Just begun.
Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing. So drop the gun. We sang about Alabama 1955. But since September 11th, many wonder, will this world survive? But if the world learns the lessons from Dr. King, we can survive, we can, we will! And so we sing. Don't say it can't be done.
Don't say it can't be done.
The battle's just begun.
The battle's just begun.
Take it from Dr. King.
Dr. King, sing up the gun.
You're singing better and better and better. Put them together. Now you have to clap. Can you hear the clap?
Yep.
Don't say it can't be done.
Say it can't be done.
The battle's just begun.
Just begun.
Take it from God's digging. You do can win. You sing. So drop the gun.
Put down the gun.
Well,
that was nice.
I don't know. Studio
Bravo. Bravo to you guys. I'm afraid I really, I have to tell you, Pete, it was not in my contract. My producer never told me I had to sing a note. But that was absolutely wonderful. What a great way to bring in music, politics, activism. Oh my God, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Pete, could you play? Could you go over that new line you put in there again? Something that's more concurrent to our modern history. Could you sing that one part again? That last verse again. Then I want to jump into the chorus.
We sang about Alabama, 1955. But since September 11th, many wonder, will this world survive? But if the world learns the lessons from Dr. King, we can survive, we can, we will. And so we sing, bump, bump. Don't say it can't be done, it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King, you two can learn to sing. So drop the gun down the gun.
That was excellent. I don't know if we have a caller here or not. I want to let our BBS and our Pal Talk audience know that there was a little bit of a confusing thing happened a minute ago. The caller was asking about 9/11, and hopefully if they want to try to call back, they can. But if you're going to call the show, go ahead and do it now. We'll know when someone comes here. We'll hear a beep. We'll ask if you're there. Tell us your name. Then you can talk to Pete. It's that simple, and ask your question. So the lines are open right now. We have a toll-free number that you can use, and that is in North America, Canada, United States. And let me get to that toll-free number here real quickly. Go ahead, let someone post those numbers, because my numbers were different. I gave a number earlier that was not applicable anymore. So if someone could post those numbers for me, call the show. We'll hear you when you come in. Give us your name if you want to, your location, and if you want to sing with Pete Seeger. Feel free, because I know he's ready to sing more.
John, I think you should have spoken the numbers a little slower. People can't write.
Okay, they are. You're the numbers.
I wish you would learn from Pete. He's been doing this for a long time, John. The numbers are 877-876-5227. And for the rest of the world, and that's the United States toll-free number, and the rest of the world can call us at 888-810-8322. Did I do it right, Pete?
Yeah, that's better. It's a little slower.
And I think that's the key to all life, and this is something that I think that you have shown me and John tonight. Going slower really works. I mean, this is just an amazing night. I want to tell you, the people in the Pal Talk auditorium, and there are dozens and dozens of people in there, John and Pete, and they are just clamoring for us. They're all typing in the room saying, oh, my God, we just sang with Pete Seeger, and they want us to thank you from as far away as Australia, Pete. They're just thrilled about this evening with you. This has been so much fun for them.
We're getting indications. Let me see if I can slow down just a little bit. We're getting indications that our lines are currently busy. Keep trying to call those numbers for the people in America. 877-876-5227. And for the rest of the world, 888-810-8322. In the meantime, until we can get this knot untied with our phone, currently seems the numbers are busy. Could you address that question that passing shot caller gave us, Pete, asking, do you think the events of 9/11 were an inside job?
I haven't the faintest idea of how they were organized, but whoever organized must have been slightly insane to think by killing thousands of people that you actually solve any problems in this world. You know what Dr. King said?
Well, obviously they had to be insane. You're right, Pete.
It seems to me, Pete, that there are those who are in the business not to solve problems. They're in the business to create problems. They create problems, they watch the panic, and then they offer a solution. And currently the solution that we're being offered is, let's weaken our Constitution. Let's eviscerate some of the Bill of Rights to make us safer and less fearful. Let's sacrifice our dignity in the name of security. Because if you don't, the boogeyman's going to come out from under your bed and it's going to get you. And that is what they continually have been telling us lately. Maintain your fear and let us keep you safe. I think that it's possible that though the people are creating problems so they can sell the solution. I'm off my soapbox. I just had to jump in there and say that. It's 852.
Pete, let me ask you something, Pete. What do you think about this fear mongering that's going on in the United States at the hands of our government these days?
I quote Dr. King everywhere. He said the weakness, the ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral. With violence, you can murder the hater, but you only increase hate. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. It takes light to do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. It takes love and respect to do that.
Love and respect to do that. You know, I've always said you cannot glean peace from war. It's an impossibility. And I know that a lot of people believe that somehow war does end conflict, and it probably does. I guess if you kill enough people in the world, you don't have a whole lot of people to conflict with. That's probably the way they see that.
Well, you know, you and I are all descended from good killers, if you go back enough millions of years. If they had not, the ones who were not good killers did not have descendants. When the first human beings went up to Europe, they found an earlier species, we call them the Neanderthals, living there. And they were much stronger. They were only about 5 feet, 4 inches tall, but they were much stronger than humans. And if one Neanderthal met one human on a trail, there's no doubt who would live and who would die. But a few thousand years later, there were no more Neanderthals in the world. They haven't dug up a single skeleton less than 24,000 years old.
Fascinating. You know, just a minute ago when you were quoting Dr. King, I ran across, and I don't know if this is a quote from you or about you, but it went like this. It was said that Pete Seeger and his trusty banjo have been known to surround hate and force it to surrender. Was that yours?
Woody Guthrie went through World War II with a sign on his guitar saying, "This machine kills fascists." He went into the hospital. He kept the sign on after the war was over, and we said, "Woody, Hitler's dead. Mussolini's dead. Why don't you take the sign down?" And Woody said, "This fascism comes along every time the rich people get the generals to help them stay in control." Pretty good definition of fascism.
Exactly. That nails it.
And,
I think we have a caller. I think we have a caller. Someone in the room with us. Let
okay.
Us if you want. Hello.
Hello.
I hear that person. Go ahead. What's your name? Where are you? And ask your question to them.
Okay, thank you. Hello.
Can you raise your voice a little bit, caller, please?
Okay, just a second. Is it better now?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'm calling. Can you hear me okay, first of all?
Pete,
do you hear the
caller?
Okay, Pete.
She says she's calling because, but I couldn't hear the word.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say the question and maybe you can repeat it to him. This
okay.
is Dari calling from Connecticut. I'm not far away from where you live, Pete. I do every now and then travel up the Hudson River, take a drive up that way. It's very beautiful. But my question is, do you see any correlation between the time when the blacklisting took place in this country and what is happening today when we have a president that says something to the effect of, if you're not with us, you're against us. You're one of them, those terrorists. Okay?
Did you hear that?
I'm gonna stop talking now, okay?
Okay, so thanks for coming and joining us, Dari. That was Dari from Connecticut. She's from an area near where you're from, where you are. Said she travels down the Hudson River periodically. And also the question was, is there some sort of a correlation you think between the blacklisting that went on in years past and what's going on now with the administration that tells people that you're either with us or you're with the terrorists? So that's Dari from Connecticut. Go ahead, Pete.
These kind of oversimplified use of words, I just laugh at. And I don't even bother trying to argue with somebody like that. If you're not, of course, the radicals made that same kind of mistake. I think Lenin, who started the Russian Revolution, that's the kind of thing he said also. If you're not with us, you're against us. And I don't think life is that simple. Has lots of names in different parts of the world, and there's lots of different shades of opinion. And right now, I'm in favor of trying to talk to people I disagree with. I think learning to talk to people you disagree with is something the whole world has to learn.
I disagree. I disagree with that, Pete. I'm just joking. We have another caller in the room. We have very little time. Caller, are you there? Tell us your name and where you are and ask your question. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Hey, it's Tony Neisser. How you doing, guys? Pete, I wanted to thank
you. Tony, go ahead.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Pete, I wanted to thank you. I live real close to you. I'm in Bergen County. It's beautiful on the Hudson. And I wanted to thank you for your music. I'm a young man. I'm 36, and I'm into the truth movement. And I was wondering if we could have you do a song for the 9/11 truth movement. Make a song exclusively for us.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Do you hear that question, Pete? Go ahead, Pete.
I wish I could make up the songs I'd like to, but I'm not a quick songwriter. I'm not like Bob Dylan, who writes hundreds of songs.
You're thank
going
you
to
anyway.
To write the song yourself.
Okay.
Well, he wants you to see it.
You're a great guy, man.
We're really short on time here at the BBS Radio Network. And
I would like everybody to know that our next week's guest is going to be Rabbi Mike Turner, who is the author of The Left Hand of God, here at PeopleSpeakRadio.org. And go ahead, let's wrap it up, John. Pete, I want to thank you. I absolutely have loved your music my whole life. Thank you.
Give Michael Lerner my best.
I will do that. Both John and I will do that.
And I will give a hello, if you don't mind, Pete, to Jean Ritchie the next time I see her. I'll let her know that I've talked to you, and I'm sure she'll be very thrilled to hear that. Thank you.
Well, that's it for tonight, folks. The people have spoken, and they have spoken tonight with Pete. Thank you all for joining us at the virtual auditorium in Pal Talk, and thank you on BBS Radio. We will be seeing you next week, same time, same place. John, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Babsma. Thanks, Pete. Hopefully you can come back. We'd love to hear you play some more and sing with us some more. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea by the relief office I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is mine, there, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest, to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you. And